I'd like to welcome everyone back. Again, I'd like to thank the congregation for the opportunity to stand before you and present a lesson from God's Word. And I'm convinced that this PowerPoint doesn't like me and will not cooperate. So, again, we'll go without the PowerPoint this afternoon. But tonight's lesson will be prayerful living. Prayerful living. I want to take some time this afternoon and examine our prayer life. This morning, there were specific announcements made, requested by the members. We could spend the rest of this service, the rest of this day, going into tomorrow, petitioning God those prayer requests, petitioning to God our needs, and expressing our gratitude for what He's done. There is much to pray about. And as Christians, we need to feel blessed to have this avenue of prayer. You know, while we have the Word of God, that's how God talks to us. He has provided this street in which we can conversate with Him. You know, praying to a Christian should be joyful. Think of it, if you're parents, especially fathers. When your child speaks to you, and discusses whatever on his or her mind, how do you feel? Shouldn't that delight you? You know, when Alexis talks to me, and she's almost 5 years old, we can have a conversation. And it's awesome that she wants to talk to me and share with me what is on her mind. And even now with Autumn, a little over 11 weeks old, she responds to when we talk to her. In the same respects, don't you think God delights in the fact that His children have the desire to talk to Him? And as His children, we should delight in the fact that we have a Father who cares for us and has given us this avenue of prayer to speak to Him. So, for some brief moments this afternoon, I want to look at four areas concerning prayer. How to pray? How often do you pray? What do you pray about? And what is your attitude when you pray? If you would turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus gives us an example of how to pray in His Sermon on the Mount. In many religious circles, this is referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But we know it is the model prayer, and the Lord's Prayer that we'll look on later on is in John chapter 17. But beginning at verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, we'll look at verses 5 through 15. Jesus says, beginning at verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forget our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We are instructed to pray in this way and in this same manner. Not to use these exact words. Yes, we understand we are to open by addressing our Heavenly Father, and we are to close in Jesus' name because He is our mediator. He makes intercession for us. But in between, that time in between our opening and our closing is the time to let God know our petitions. In verse 6, Jesus says, But you, when you pray, go into your room, when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. How often do you do that? How often do you do what Jesus just says here in verse 6? Where you go into your maybe your bedroom, or an isolated area, a place of privacy, and just pour your heart out to God. No distractions. It's just you and God having a conversation. That is what Jesus is saying we should do. Praying to God in secret. He also warns us of vain repetitions. Empty, useless sayings over and over and using the same phrases without thinking really what we're saying. How about how often do you pray? How often do you pray? Is it just maybe before dinner? You say a quick prayer, then you have your meal? Maybe right before you go to bed? Or only in a time of need when you need God's help? I hope and pray that each one of you is taking advantage of the opportunity to talk to God. Your routine is probably different than mine. You know, you may say a prayer right when you wake up in the morning. I say mine when I begin my 45-minute commute to work. But you probably have your own set time where you go to God in prayer. But whatever the case is in your life, we need to be consistent as well as persistent in our prayer life. That's what Paul is exhorting in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It's a verse that is all familiar to us. Pray without ceasing. Now, it doesn't mean constantly praying, but it means having a faithful prayer life. Having a prayerful state of mind. So when you go to God in prayer, what do you pray about? Think about the content of your prayer. Well, we can remember those who were sick the last assembly. Those who wanted to get out but couldn't get out because they were sick. Those maybe who are in the hospital or recovering from recent surgeries. Those who are out of town traveling. What about the spiritually struggling? We all know those who have fallen away and need prayers for their spiritual condition. What about in thanksgiving to God for all the blessings He has given us? What about wisdom? What about opening up doors of opportunity to share the gospel with others? The courage to talk to those who need the gospel. Those are just a handful of examples. You know, as we make these prayer requests, or when we lift up these individuals' names in prayer, we may not know their specific ailments, but God does. God knows what these individuals need. We also have to keep in mind that it is the Lord's will. It's in His time that all will be done. And Jesus understood this before His death, burial, and resurrection. If you would turn over to Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. Mark chapter 14, 32 through 42. Beginning in verse 32, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and He said to His disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And He took Peter, James, and John with Him, and He began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther, and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from Him. And He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for You. Take this cup away from Me, nevertheless, not what I will, but You will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said, are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. We see here in verse 33 how deeply distressed and troubled Jesus was during this time. We can't imagine, we can't put ourselves in his shoes, what Jesus is going through at this point in his life. And with everything that's about to happen, and immediately after this passage, we get into the Judas' betrayal and Jesus' arrest. In verse 36, Jesus says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Later on, he says, not what I will, but you will. He understood that it was his Father's will that this had to take place. In John chapter 17, in the Lord's Prayer, in verse 1, Jesus says, the Father, the hour has come. There we know that Jesus understands that his death is imminent. So over the course of this chapter, Jesus prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and he prays for all believers, including us. Verse 20 says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. In verse 21, he prays that we may be united, that we may be one. You know, through it all, Jesus humbled himself. He understood it was God's plan for him to die for us, for our sins. And he let God's will be done. You know, it's important to understand this concept because God knows what's best for us. If you wouldn't turn over to Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 32 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, beginning of verse 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, before we even go to God in prayer, he knows exactly what we need. He knows we need food. He knows we need clothing and shelter, the daily necessities of life. For he is commanding us not to worry, because he will take care of us. That theme continues in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 verse 6 reads, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, Paul here is exhorting us to pray about our circumstances rather than worry about it. We can't worry about our problems, but rather commit our problems to God in prayer, trusting that he will provide deliverance. You know, while God knows what we need even before we tell him, he still wants to hear it from us. He takes pleasure in the fact that we pray to him and that we express our needs and our desires to him. He wants to hear it come from us. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Paul writes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. You know, prayer is acceptable in all occasions. And without prayer, all the armor that is discussed in the previous verses of this chapter wouldn't be of any use. Perseverance and patience are essential in prayer. But what about our mindset when we pray? What is our mindset when we go to God in prayer? If you would turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, beginning of verse 9. And also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We're familiar with this parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. How about the tone of the Pharisee's prayer? It obviously reveals a problem. We know the Pharisees sought the praise and approval of man rather than from God. And in this passage alone, he uses the pronoun I 5 times, just in 2 verses. We know where his mindset was. He looked down upon others and putting himself on a pedestal. His attitude was, God, you should be grateful for me because of my commitment to you. But the tax collector's attitude was the complete opposite. He had the humble, meek spirit of repentance that Jesus commends. The tax collector understood that only through God's mercy and grace that he could be delivered. He couldn't do it on his own. We can't do it on our own. You know, Jesus identifies the contrast between the Pharisee and the tax collector, the pride versus humility, those who exalt versus those who humble themselves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, it reads, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Bottom line, God will bring down the proud and exalt the humble. Do you ever find it difficult to keep your mind peacefully focused on God while you pray? If you would turn over to Colossians chapter 3, look at the first 2 verses of this passage. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It reads, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, minds that do not normally think of God at other times throughout the day will find it very difficult to stay focused on Him during occasional times of prayer. If that's the case, how can it be fixed? If you have a difficulty keeping your mind focused on your prayer, how about thinking about God as we fulfill the routine of our daily activities? We can always be mindful of Him, what He has done for us as we go about our daily routine. How about taking our spiritual life seriously and being aware of God's reality at every moment? You know, that takes discipline. That takes practice. That takes time. Because our minds are used to wandering here, there, and everywhere. But with serious intent, we can learn to live in a constant state of mindfulness about God. We can pray to God, requesting that He helps us develop that constant state of mindfulness. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know, when we're not specifically thinking about God, we can at least be thinking about the higher and the better things in the world that He has made. And when we do that, when we think on these things, we will bring ourselves closer to God and make our minds more inclined to pray. Close with James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. If we turn over that passage, we'll close with this passage. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, "Confess your faults, or confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. Prayer is effective. Prayer works. Elijah's fervent prayers prove that. But there is a condition. Fervent prayer of a righteous man. Those who are seeking God diligently, faithfully, and consistently. So I ask you this afternoon as we close, are you seeking God diligently, faithfully, and consistently? And that includes your prayer life. How is your prayer life? Are you going to God as often as you should? Is it a quick prayer to get it over with so you can start digging into your meal? Or is there prayer that is serious? That the content of your prayer has meaning? And that God can truly tell and understand that your prayer is genuine. If your prayer life, even your spiritual life, isn't in the condition it should be, this is an opportunity for you to make any necessary changes that you need to in your life. You know, we offer an invitation to those who need to make corrections in their life. This is the opportunity that's afforded to them. If you're not a Christian, but you want to become one, the water is ready. There's no sense in delaying what you need to do. So whatever your needs are this afternoon, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the song that has been chosen.